Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is Albert Breer with Tommy Curran, and the suggestion that Gerard Mayo, with his comments pointing the finger at Alex Van Pelt, if that's what he intended, has put himself squarely on the hot seat. I don't know how we've talked about it all morning long. I feel like there is, and there has been for a large part of the season, this notion out there that Gerard Mayo puts the blame elsewhere every time he has the opportunity to do so. And he does a good job of coming back, whether it's on this show or in a follow-up question yesterday where he says, you know, I am the head coach. And but I, you know, the examples are the you go back to October and special teams and that 96-yard punt return that was on the players. It's not that difficult. The team is soft. I can't control what they do when it comes to them being on the football field. Like, I don't know.
This seemed different to me. Maybe AVP is going to be the fall guy for the season. Maybe the season, you know, that's going to be what they blame it on. And I don't agree with it because I think Drake May has progressed throughout the season. But maybe they're going to, after the season, part ways with him, say he was the one who didn't want to go with Drake May in the beginning. He wanted to go with Jacoby. And that's what he's selling to us now.
But Burt Brand makes a great point.
About coaches coming in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great point.
Yeah. Why would you want to work for a guy who, when things aren't going well, is going to be pointing the finger at you,
right,
not including himself?
And then there's a chance that guy that you who could be pointing the finger at you is going to definitely be on the hot seat, so it could only be a one-year thing for you. So that was another great point that he brought up.
I would say also this is emblematic of an organization – without accountability, because I think Burt Breer is a good reporter. So he messaged to the people who would be in charge of deciding the fate of Gerard Mayo, and they expressed rage about what he said post-game. So instead of being in front, the owners talk behind the scenes to reporters who talk openly about how the coach is now on the hot seat. There's no accountability anywhere. And that's how you get this situation. Gerard Mayo is probably not the next Lombardi, okay? And he's made a million mistakes and he shot himself in the foot. But as long as you have people that you work for that go around you to tell people about what they feel about your job performance, then the job in and of itself, no matter who the coach is not going to be a destination of people that have options.
Is he right, though, that you have to at least think about Mike Vrabel?
Oh, but like, that's either way. But instead of saying that, give Gerard Mayo the respect of telling him what you expect.
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, do what you did with Bill, which is you sit together at Davio's, you go over your thoughts over the year. But to me, like, if I'm Mike Vrabel, you're going to have your pick. You can work with Tom and the Raiders. You can probably go back to Ohio State and replace Ryan Day where you went to
go
school.
Go to the Jets.
Go to the Jets. That was something Boomer brought up.
Especially if they get the guy John Robinson, who was the guy that was in Tennessee with him.
Yeah.
So that could be a and he's probably Vrabel's people are probably on the phone now.
All right. Well, Gerard Mayo will join us next. We'll get to talk to him about all of this. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Patriots fall in Arizona 30-17, falling to 3-11 on the season. Drake May completed 19 of 23 passes for 202 yards. He had a rushing TD and an interception in this one. It's the fourth straight loss for the Pats, and New England's D has allowed 25 or more points for the fourth straight game. There was a comment made by Gerard after the loss that has some scratching their heads this morning. He was asked if he'd ever considered having Drake take the ball himself on fourth down, a little QB sneak. Here's what he had to say.
Running Drake in that situation, it's a short yard situation. You know, he can run.
You said it, I didn't.
We'll be able to ask Gerard about that and so much more coming up next. Monday Night Football has two games tonight. The Bears taking on the Vikings at 8, while the Falcons take on the Raiders at 8:30. The Celtics got a win in Washington last night, 112-98 the final. Jason Tatum led the way with a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis exited the game in the second quarter. He didn't return in the second half due to right heel pain. After the game, Porzingis did say he didn't think it was anything major. And Freddie Freeman walk-off grand slam ball from Game 1 of the 2024 World Series has sold for $1.56 million. Is the third most expensive baseball sold ever. Get the new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
34 degrees. Don't be scared, Greg. Some flurries.
Oh.
Expected in 4 minutes.
Okay.
In Boston.
All right. Total.
Shut down the pipe.
Total and utter whiteout conditions.
Close the
bridge.
It
used to be we'd wait for it to storm and then we'd treat the roads. Yeah. Now 12 hours in advance, we shut down traffic.
All right, Gerard Mayo with us next. Gerard Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow. And by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hello, Coach.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I've seen better Mondays.
You came in a little hot this morning. I mean, I don't know if you
I did come in hot this morning because, you know, the remark that I made last night, like you said, I didn't mean anything by it. You know, maybe a flippant response, and I tried to clarify that with the next question, saying ultimately, it's my decision. Ultimately, all of those decisions, offensively, defensively, and special teams, fall on me, and so I just want to get that out there.
Yeah. I guess there's some who feel like there's this narrative out there that at times you are pointing the finger in different directions when it comes to the result not being what it could be.
Like what?
People point to you in the infamous soft team comment.
Now everyone says that.
You're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
I can't coach these guys when they're out there on the field. Between it's on them when they get out there.
Those are things that the players have heard me say, who ultimately, that's who I care about the most. I have said that since I was a position coach, the exact same thing. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the world we live in, and it's a different seat that I'm sitting in. I understand that, and look, people are going to take it how they want to take it. When I'm talking to football players, the guys in that room, the men in that room, they understand when I say, look, you're on the field, I'm not. Like, I try to give you the tools, go out there and use them. And the results sometimes, look, we would have won the game, going back to that statement, then everyone would be like, oh, yeah, the players went out there and got it done. But we unfortunately lost the game, and it's me throwing them under the bus, which is not true.
And so your intent was not to throw Alex Van Pelt under the
100%
bus. Did you speak to him afterwards?
I did speak to him. I spoke to him this morning because I didn't even think about that it was going to be a big story today. I spoke to him this morning, and he's just like, yeah, what are you talking about?
Whatever.
He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So your intent was to say what? So
no, there was no – look, he asked the question. I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole of trying to explain for the next 10 minutes after we just lost the game about how that whole process went down. I just said, you said it, to try to end the question. And, look, I shouldn't have done that. And, again, just like I tell the players, I'm still learning. how those things work.
I think the great thing that we get to do with you is try to clear up some of these
names. No, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
How involved are you in the offensive plan?
Look, I'm in there. I'm in there when they're putting the game plan in. I try to spend more time defensively, obviously, because that's my forte. You know, and then look, we all at the end of the day, after we get through on Fridays of ironing everything out, we're all on the same page and we work together well as a staff.
Gerard, to kind of go even a little further, like game day operation, you know, being seen from kind of how it works on the inside, are there times where you'll say, hey, run a QB sneak here, or let's take a shot, or are you more like letting Alex Van Pelt putting it in his hands, where you might say, hey, let's be a little bit aggressive here, and then he decides what he wants to come up, or are you actually giving it some input on maybe specific plays that you might want to see?
Or I give input on where I want the ball to go at times. I give input on whether we should run it or pass it at times. But I've said it before. Look, he's the head coach of the offense. And, you know, at times I go over to the – I'm on the defensive channel talking to those guys, making corrections, and I have enough faith in the AVP and the rest of the offensive staff to operate when I'm not on that channel.
So why not a sneak there?
Sorry?
Why not a sneak there?
We just try to do what we thought was what was best for the team.
So, look,
early in the season, we talked about the sneaks as well, and that was when Drake came out of the protocol. We talked about sneaks, and then we, you know, it was off the table. Look, he's a big, strong kid. Can he quarterback sneak? Absolutely. We just didn't call it in that moment.
But when you say, I think it's important to clarify, when you say best for the team, not necessarily best option to win, but are you trying to protect the quarterback in that situation?
Best for the team, and we're always trying to win, so I don't want to go down that one.
Okay.
Your game plan, though, is what everybody's talking about today, especially because it seemed like Jonathan and Robert were having a conversation, and the camera went to them, and it seemed like maybe Jonathan said the play calling is horrible. When do you have that conversation with them after every game, and are they talking about actual football plays with you when you sit down for that conversation, or do they stay in their lane of being owners and you're the coach?
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, get into what they said. I didn't see the clip. I heard about it this morning. But look, they own the football team. They're fans of the team, and they have supported us 100% on the football side of not really getting involved in that stuff, which has been good.
How frustrating for you was it to not come away with any points that first drive? And does that set the tone in any way for the game?
Yeah, to me, you know, and I know a lot of people, look, we won the coin toss, and the mindset going into the game is, look, we want to start fast and try to play with the lead. So we drive the ball, and then we get a penalty, right? And then we miss the kick, and so we're back at square one.
It feels like this team gets to the 35-yard line and all of a sudden, like, gets nervous. It's like, you know, me at my middle school dance. You know, like, they're like, oh, what do we do? Okay, we have a chance here. Let's you know, run it, and then let's settle for a field goal. When I feel like it was a great drive to start. I mean, I thought you guys got the ball. We're going down. Drake has always looked good. Ramondre had a good run. All of that. What changes in the play call and the just general offensive approach once you get into the sort of general field goal area of the opposing team?
Yeah, one thing I would say, just holistically, no matter what team you're on, you now add an extra player. That middle of the field safety that was out there in the field, he's now in the box. And so as the field starts to compress, you know, everything just gets a little bit tighter, and it comes down to details and execution.
It is the one thing that I noticed, and it was very frustrating to me watching it yesterday. You know, your left tackle in low really, really struggles. Is there any point in time in the game where you're like, all right, we have to make a change and put somebody out, or you just feel like maybe the guy behind them's not ready to handle the situation?
Yeah, not to live in the past. Like, we've done that before. Mm-hmm. You look at the opening game when, you know, we made a change, I think, the second or third drive. So right. That's always a possibility. But look, Lowe's out there. He's given us everything that he has, and we appreciate him for that.
Keyshawn Booty was asked about the interception and basically said, you know, it's on me, but when the ball's thrown a little bit low, it's hard to handle. Do you put the blame on Drake for the throw? Is it more on Booty for, you know, the wobble? And does it worry you that maybe there's some finger pointing there?
Yeah, I don't think there's finger pointing, and this isn't the first time we've had this conversation with Booty and his messaging to everyone. to me, it's on both of them. It's on everyone. It's on all 11 guys that are out there. The protection. It's on the quarterback making a good throw, and it's on the receiver making the catch. You know, as a wide receiver, you know, receiver is in the title of your job description. And so, you know, he's made that catch. But again, you know, some of the frustration, I'm sure, is kind of building up.
We talk about a lot of the same things every week. You're probably getting sick of them, but we've talked a lot about missed tackles, Duggar, you know, open field missed tackle. Is that something that is just Wiggy talks a lot? Wiggy and Ty Law actually talk a lot about lack of practice time now in the NFL, different than when you guys played. Like, what causes that?
How do you fix it? It is different, and I agree with Wiggy and Ty Law on that. It is different in saying that we're all operating under the same collectively bargained rules. And so to go out there and, you know, and not be able to tackle at this point in the season has been disappointing, and we just got to get better.
But why has the defense gotten worse as the season's gone on?
You know, I would say, you know, early on, you know, we felt pretty good about, you know, the guys that we had out there. You know, you look at the first game and just, you know, you have Bentley out there, you know, you got the safeties out there rolling, you got, you know, obviously Barmo wasn't there, but those things have definitely hurt us. Now, not making it an excuse, and the other guys have definitely stepped up and tried to fill those roles, but those things definitely take a toll, and it's got to be better.
Did they give you an explanation on what I thought was an horrible, horrible roughing the passer call? Like, did they... to make you understand, because I just look like, it looked like to me Jennings kind of just tripped and went to the side, and I believe it was Keon White just kind of gave a little shove in the back, but they called it on Jennings. Did they give you a better explanation?
I don't want to get too far into that. What I would say is they said that there was forcible contact to the head and neck area. You can't challenge those things or anything. Yeah, if they made the call, and I will say this on the penalties on the half glass full. Like, I mean, I think that was the least amount of penalties we've had the last 5 or 6 weeks. So that's definitely a good thing. Trying to pull a positive out of it.
We appreciate that.
Only four.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago when we talked to you, you said, you know, during the bye week, there was a lot of things that you wanted to improve on. What was the main focus during the bye week? And do you think that you followed through on that?
For us, it was just about, you know, just going back to fundamentals. And it didn't show up in the game in the times that we needed it to show up.
I'm just curious just to confirm on the sneak.
Did you just Google a question?
No. I was just thinking about the first answer.
This guy.
No,
grab a question.
You said.
Do your homework.
I do my homework every day. I'm cramming.
He's over there Googling questions.
So the reason Mac, I was thinking about Mac. The reason
now
Drake.
He's frazzled. He's frazzled.
Yeah, he's frazzled.
I am. I'm going to walk this back tomorrow. So the reason Drake didn't sneak is because of the concussion issue.
No, it's not. That was a conversation that we had in the past.
He's clear and all set.
He's out of the concussion protocol. He can quarterback sneak. And again, look, it's on me. I like that, though. I like that.
You like
that. I'll get you off air.
is there no issue? Because I think a lot of people, you know, speculate. Everything we do is speculation here because we're not in here. We're not behind the scenes. Is there no issue between you and Alex Van Pelt when it comes to philosophy and where you see the offense, whether it's being conservative, aggressive, whatever it is? Are you guys on the same page?
100% on the same page. And I back Alex 100%.
Even more so, though, in that same breath, do you feel like what you were promised when you took this coaching job has come through? Like, were you told that you were going...
by who?
Well, by the crafts, I guess. Because we talk about that all the time. Were you told that you had the reins to do whatever you want, that they were going to spend a ton of money, that you were going to pick the staff around you, and maybe that didn't happen? It's all speculation for us, since you're sitting here...
Yeah, I'm not going to get into... I'm not going to get into all that.
As long as you're here.
This is the staff I want. This is the staff that we need. And look, we just got to get better.
But you're happy with how this season... even though maybe the wins and losses.
I'm not happy with, you know, it's hard to say happy with the season when we're sitting here with this record.
Happy with how you've been treated as the head coach.
By who?
By the organization.
The organization's been fantastic.
Okay, good.
Speaking of the staff, before we, I don't want to get off this topic. Obviously, Brian works for you. He's in your defensive backfield, safeties coach. Have you spoken to him? Is he going to go join his dad at North Carolina? Has that come up at all?
No, we haven't talked about that at all. And he's been, you know, 100% on the opponent, which was Arizona this past week.
Knowing Bill as well as you do, were you surprised that that's where he's going?
Look, I know he's a great coach, and he needs to be coached, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
He looks good in Carolina blue.
Carolina blue is nice.
It's a good color.
He'll have more Jordans than me now.
How many do you have?
I don't count.
Oh, you don't count them?
No, I don't have a lot like that. I actually give them away after, I, you know, to people. So.
Last one for me, 0-for-6 when it came to converting on third down. Boomer brought up that package. You've had a chance to look at film. What's the issue there? No,
I would say at least two of those were situations where we're just trying to get back into field goal range. So situational third downs. But again, like, we just got to get open and make the plays.
Gerard, one thing that you talked about, and I think we talked about this with and who do we interview on Friday?
Oh, man.
Jelani.
I was
talking to a lot of people.
Rough weekend.
Gerard, you give me a hard time.
I'm horrible with names, Gerard. I mean, I
are you?
I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm
you can't
horrible
be bad with names. You're on TV. And
he's
on
really bad
radio
with names.
He calls Stacey Champ.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, what's up, buddy?
What's up, my guy?
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, my guy?
Yeah, that is me all day long. But we talked with Jelani on Friday and talked about creating turnovers. How do you work on that in practice to, like, maybe, you know, because you guys have been struggling all year there. What can you do differently maybe in practice, in the games? I know it's got to be difficult for guys to be able to try to create a turnover and tackle at the same time. Is there something that maybe you guys feel like you could do a little bit better?
Yeah, that second guy that comes in always has an opportunity to strip at the football. I would say, I've always said this, is that turnovers come in bunches. Sacks come in bunches, and we just haven't been able to really get that one to get everything else flowing. So hopefully it's this week.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to it.
All right.
What Shime? Oh, Shime says I didn't ask the Hellman's Mayo question of the week.
Yeah, we got to get this guy out of here.
You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Anybody?
I have a question. What do you think about just playing on Christmas Day? The NFL's just started it. Do you like it? Do you think they should, you know, what are your thoughts on Christmas Day NFL football?
Yeah, I think it's good for the league. I think it's good, you know, and then you get a couple extra days on the back end on that. Look, I love to see, I'm a fan of football first and foremost, so I love to hear about football on Christmas.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I won't see you before then. I think maybe these guys will Monday. But
where are you going?
I'm going to take a couple days off.
Ooh.
I know it's normally it's no days off. I know that. but we'll take a couple days off. So, all right, that's Gerard Mayo, a Patriots Monday. We will be right back from...
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Hey, you two guys.
Shime,
What happened yesterday? It's not 8 billion things.
Look at that. You
have all your notes there.
He has his own eggnog.
I'm answering questions pop up. You got a whole script.
Mine is just the frustration from my team losing.
The conversation... The conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. Thank you, Gerard. We'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
Well, it is a Patriots Monday, and the New England Patriots on their way to a 3-14 record, which is not the better record that Gerard Mayo promised us on this show earlier this season. And
is it a moonwalk Monday?
I mean, he does from time to time find himself retracting statements, saying that he wished he didn't, he shouldn't have said something, or he wished he didn't say
or concussions precluding a QB sneak, which I never knew that was a thing.
I don't know. Those are the nuggets, I guess.
Not a big fan of mine, but I like him.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I don't think it's
neutralized.
I don't think it's personal.
No, it's not. He's a very
that was a quick one-liner from you, though. Wow.
Ah, neutralized. Bam.
I don't know. He seems genuinely dismayed that people took the Alex Van Pelt comment the way they did. He reached out to him, and Alex Van Pelt said, "Wait, what are you talking about?"
New phone. Who dis?
I don't. I guess we'll take him that he didn't intend for that to be a shot. Alex will take him at his word on that.
Yeah.
So he says it because he doesn't want to continue to go down the road of them asking questions about the quarterback sneak, because I mean, that was the way his reply to it was.
If your answer is that this season is done, we're finished, it is what it is, and we don't want to get Drake May hurt. He had the issue earlier in the season, so rather than have him sneak the ball, we're going to run it with Ramondre Stevenson. Then I would if it were me, I'd give that answer. If that was going to be my answer, I would.
He didn't want to give it that way because then it would have led to more questioning.
He also kind of gave that answer. Well, if we had won the game, like he does
I
do
hate
that.
That
he
so
does
much.
Do that a lot.
I told you he was going to do
yes.
that.
Yes, yeah. And so maybe that's he was saying. You guys said it, not me. That was his new way of saying, like, you know,
if we won the game,
it would be different.
Right. Why can't people understand this though, Courtney, where not you obviously, but like you only get asked to show your work when you're wrong. If you get the right answer, people say, okay, next.
Right.
If you're wrong, they'll say, oh, why did you do XYZ?
Yeah, the expectation is you're going to get it right 90% of the time. That's why that happens.
Right.
Like, you don't get a reward for getting it right.
And if you're in that position and you have a game where you have nothing to lose, you're eliminated from the playoffs, you're one of the worst teams in football, and you have a play call on fourth and half a yard, and you come up with hand it to Ramondre and run into the middle when you have an awful, you know, totally unhealthy offensive line.
Like, or just say we feel like it's better for us to give it to Ramondre than try to sneak Drake May.
And of course, you know what that means when you say you said it, I didn't. Like, Jerod Mayo is far smarter than I am. When somebody asks you about a play call and you're the head coach and you said you said it, it's not something that you have to infer. It's a direct implication you would have preferred that.
Like, maybe it is. Maybe he doesn't. When it comes to Drake May and the ongoing discussion about why he didn't start week one and why they wanted to bring him along with kid gloves, maybe that is Elliot Wolf's decision. And maybe Elliot Wolf has also said, listen, we're not going to put him in a situation where he might get hurt again.
Drake May runs for 40 yards, and rather than slide, he puts his head down and tries to run people over.
He had a great slide yesterday, yeah. Though.
You know what I mean? Like, when he runs, like, he's not somebody that's shying away from contact. So you would think, like, if Elliot Wolf was and they had issues, like, we don't want Drake to get hurt, they would be forcing on him, Drake, when you run, slide, 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 where, it doesn't seem like that's kind of something that enters his mind.
And wouldn't this be an opportunity if he hasn't been sneaking because he's not been well? Well, that's something you need to learn to do in the NFL level. Like, here, go at it. You have two shots, third and one, fourth and one. Get the yard, and we'll go get we'll get a touchdown.
Or just say that, like, we feel – because there are a lot of guys who are not good at quarterback sneaks.
Right, there's a million things that could be.
So there are a ton of teams that don't always quarterback sneak. They do turn around and hand it to their running back.
Well, Drake talked about – Shime, I don't know if you have it or not, but he talked about it post-game and seemed also to be somewhat surprised that that wasn't the call. I think you went on to say that's, I'm paraphrasing, but a conversation that we should have or whatever. I think when you don't have an explanation for things strategy-wise, people are left to assume that you didn't have a strategy. I think that's the issue, is that unless you have a clear reasoning for why you're doing things, people say, are you not considering – the obvious, like, are you not considering the quarterback sneak back to back when you need to get a yard on the four? Like,
I think in an attempt to not be Bill, which has been clear, he's tried to be a little more conversational with the media.
Yeah.
And what happens is the reason Bill did what he did for so long is that he was pragmatic. The less I say today means the less I answer for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I can do whatever. I'm not going to allow these people, who I despise, rightly so in many cases, to dictate my week. So I'm going to say the week,
or what the team is talking about all week. Like, I'm not. It's not going to be an issue. I'm not going to create an issue all week
about whether I'm on the hot seat, whether coaches are going to want to come here, whether players are going to be upset that I didn't put the onus on myself. Bill was a master class in that. Make it go away. Stand up there. Say we were bad in all facets of the football game, and it starts with me, and that's it.
But now we sound like the people who want our cake and want it both ways, right? We criticized Bill.
I didn't care about that. Like,
But you're one person. The majority of people criticized Bill in the way he handled the media. So let's not all of a sudden forget that that's the way the narrative was. That now the majority of people are like, oh, we want a guy who's willing to say things and go out there and who's talking to the media. And now we're like criticizing Gerard, you know.
Right, because there's a way to do this without walking everything back. You could say, yeah, you know, I talked to AVP in the moment. We thought that was the right decision for a multitude of reasons of which I'm not going to get into right now.
Right. I get that element of it, but I also look at it like, and the biggest question that, you know, I'd love for him to answer, and he won't, is like, when it comes to you handling the media, Gerard, what is the biggest thing you learned from this year that you made a bunch of mistakes in? And I'm willing to bet you it's probably when he goes, I maybe say things in the moment that I should probably think about and say them in a different way.
We all do. I mean, that's human nature.
Right.
And I think that he is learning from it. I don't think that this comment, what he said yesterday, is as bad as the soft comment. I think that we're moving in the right direction. I think that he said that thinking that it was not going to be a big deal yesterday.
But see, that's where I would kind of disagree with you, Courtney. Like, you know that that's going to lead to questions of like, oh, so it's
He meant it when he said it. Like, it's week 15. Like, how many times does he have to come on this show and backtrack on something that he said that he meant because there's criticism of it? I mean, I think
almost every week.
Can we hear that back and forth quickly if you have it, Sean? Because I think I don't think a single person in our listening audience would hear that and not immediately think that was a thinly veiled shot at the offensive coordinator. And I feel like he knows that better than anybody.
And that's what I took away from it, and I think that's what players would take away from it, is that, like, well, you know, it's up to Alex. That's the play he called. I would have probably went with a QB sneak, but I entrust my head coach of my offense, Alex Van Pelt. He decides to give the guy a handoff, which then it's like, well, but then we had the
– it's deflecting blame.
Right, but then that the shine thing was when Alex Van Pelt's on – Keith and Jones and says, well, being aggressive or conservative is me being kind of told by the head coach. And I didn't hear exactly what they said. I'm just kind of paraphrasing the best way I can. But it does look like he does keep making the same mistakes when it comes to saying things that he has to walk back. Like, when are you going to realize that?
I don't think it's a mistake. I think in the moment
he's frustrated.
He's being honest and telling you what the situation is, and then afterwards everybody's like, wait a minute, you told everybody that you don't have the say that you want when it comes to the offense. And so I mean, I don't know.
Right. And then that means he's capping to Courtney when Courtney says, well, did you feel
what's he gonna say though? He's not gonna say, yeah, I want
no, but help. If I'm the head coach and I could say, hey, Alex, QB sneak here. Guess what? Alex runs a QB sneak.
Yeah,
but if
he may have been on the defensive channel at that time. I don't know
how many. That's a good point.
I mean, he.
Wait, turn around. Like, what happened? Did I miss something? Did I miss something? Hold on, make sure my channels are right. Who we got?
I was on Spotify. Get me back. Can you get me?
Why is Zolak yelling?
Can you get me back to the offensive channel, please?
Is this DeMarcus or is this Alex? Oh damn. I thought it was Alex. My bad.
Always confuse those two.
I mean, but if he sits here and says, you know, there are point in times, and this because I know this is what Bill used to do with Charlie Weiss. Hey, run this play. Run that play.
Yeah.
So if you're Gerard and you're like, you believe quarterback sneak is the best thing, Alex, run a QB sneak.
Well, the alarming question is, does he know that? Does he believe that?
Great.
Everybody else watching the football game knew it. Everybody else asked why. So
It's perplexing. Like it's got to be the health of the player, which is fine. Just say it. But like, just say it if that's what it is.
Yeah, first time.
Is there any other explanation?
No, of course not. Don't. He knows better, and we all know better. He's doing what he has to do to satiate his bosses and to smooth this over with Van Pelt. But for the first time, right now, whatever it is, December 16th, I don't think he's back next year.
You don't?
No. He doesn't, and it sucks because I really want him to be successful. I really do. I think this whole thing has been blown up not by the performance. Obviously, they haven't been good enough on the field. But this has been at least the sixth time that he has come in on a Monday and had to walk something back from Sunday that has only added more fodder for people to discuss between now and the next game Sunday. And you can't keep doing that. The players haven't been accountable because he hasn't been accountable. He stands up there. The most honest reaction you get is the first thing you hear from someone.
Yeah.
And he stands up at that podium after the game. He's asked about the failed fourth and one sneak, and he says, "You said it, I didn't."
Well, it can't be the health of the play, because then I would have probably asked Shime this, because he's our all 22 guy. Didn't they have like a couple design runs since Drake Mays had the concussion?
No.
Oh, they
have not run a single designed run for Drake May all season. One of his runs have been scrambles.
Oh, so there wasn't a two-point conversion or a touchdown he scored that came off a read option?
No, that was in the preseason. It was the only one ever.
Okay. All right. So then maybe it is the health pop, but I would say this. They're not doing a good job of telling Drake May to get down because he runs with reckless abandon.
Well, it could be true that Drake May just doesn't listen to anything Van Pelt says, and that's why that part of the team actually looks good.
you'd have to believe he is, because he hardly ever slides.
No,
he's
he never
like
does.
The Gerard Mayo at times is like the guy that you love, the meme guy from the Stern Show, where they're like, "What are you doing?"
And Beetlejuice.
Yeah, he's like, "Who me?
Who me?
I'm not doing anything. What do you want? What do you want?"
He's like Beetlejuice. Hey, Gerard, who are you talking to? Were you talking to DeMarcus or were you talking to Alan? Who me?
I wasn't doing anything.
But if you sit here and you say that, yes, I will say things, then I don't get why not just be like, we decided to run it with Ramondre. Like, and because anybody who heard, and like I said, I heard the answer, but anybody who heard it, it sounded like they said, well, why wouldn't you run a QB sneak? And he was like, oh, you got to really ask the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you got to ask him. It's not me. This is Nate in the truck. Hey, Nate, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, real quick, Wiggy, you talk about Bill doesn't like to talk and all that. Yeah, we didn't have a problem with it when he was winning with Tom Brady, but when he had losing seasons, that's when, you know, we look for accountability, as you guys are talking about. Now, go back to with Mayo. I think the stage is way too big for him. I think he's way over his skis there. And honestly, you're going to waste another year of Drake May, because I know everybody's saying, you know, oh, he needs weapons, needs weapons, needs weapons. But are you going to waste with the wrong play calling and all that to go ahead and waste another year of Drake May trying to go ahead and get this team up and running? That's why I think Mayo is, this is one and done.
Mm. Well, that's the concern, is that you know, and are you gonna change his coordinator? I mean, you saw that work with Mac, and not great. And I don't know.
I think I wasn't on that side, but there is a real possibility, because not only is your offensive coordinator, if we're talking about the defense has been struggling, and maybe DeMarcus Covington might be a little bit in over his head as far as the defensive coordinator. So there's either going to be new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, same that head coach, or you're saying, because if you're Jonathan and Robert, what way do we fix this? Do we just blow everybody out, or do we blow those two guys out and see if we can get two guys that might make Gerard's job easier? So this offseason, not only with free agency and players and trades and money that we're expecting them to spend, but the whole coaching situation, it is, wow. I didn't think that there's a possibility, but after seeing Jonathan and Robert up there, like, they look like they were pissed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to go. Great job, man.
Great job.
Great job, everybody.
Be safe on the roads.
We're glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back. Full week.
Do you have security?
Stop.
She's like Tua now. Anytime she leaves, she's got armed guards.
I'm running out with
Wiggy. By the way, we didn't mention it. Tua sucks. God, does he suck.
Yeah, he was awful game yesterday.
Anyway, he was bad.
He really. What do you have? Three interceptions yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you could talk about the New England Patriots all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, including next with Jones and with Keith. And we're back tomorrow morning with Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday. Thank you for listening.